أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaytan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. And the reason for his expulsion we need to be aware of, because these are the characteristics whereby he will try to influence us to deviate us from the straight path. One is his arrogance. He knew what was right, yet he refused to accept. And secondly, he knew what was wrong, but he defiantly and deliberately committed the evil act. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We seek the help and guidance from God for three reasons. We believe He is Allah, the absolute perfect being, the only source of perfection. And therefore anyone who seeks any goodness, any guidance, any perfection necessarily must turn toward Him, because everything will flow and originate from Him. And secondly, we turn toward Him because we believe He is Rahman. Each and every one of us is a direct recipient, moment by moment, of His grace and love and mercy, whereby we come to life, whereby we survive, whereby we even thrive and develop towards our perfection. And thirdly, we turn toward Him because we believe He is Rahim. His mercy is abundant, unlimited, available toward those of us who accept Him and who submit and direct their lives according to His will. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and our greetings and our expression of love and loyalty toward the Holy Prophet of Islam, who managed to reach the highest pinnacle possible for any human being in perfection. For two reasons. Number one, his understanding of who God is, of what God's perfect attributes are, of God's love, generosity, knowledge, unlimited power and majesty, of how God is running the universe moment by moment, directing it towards its purpose and goal of perfection. His understanding of this reality was the maximum possible for any human being. And secondly, this realization translated itself into action, such that in all dimensions of his existence, be it personal, be it in his thinking or feeling or in his action, be it in his public life, economic sphere, social sphere, political sphere, in all dimensions of his life, the Holy Prophet, therefore, was the most submissive and humble to the will of God. And we send our salutations and greetings on his holy progeny, who were the next best in perfection, and especially so on the third holy Imam, whose event we have congregated to commemorate, who set an example of the supreme sacrifice that a human being is capable of performing toward God, and which then has become a source of inspiration for all subsequent movements to fight against evil and injustice and to establish justice up until the time when the final global justice and godly values will be established on earth. Scholars in Islam, elders in Islam, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. According to the recommendation and instructions of the holy Imams of Ahlul Bayt, we congregate and we assemble to mourn and to weep and to lament the tragedy of Karbala. Traditionally, on this night, we commemorate the memory and the contribution and the participation of Hur bin Yazid Riyahi Yarbu'i Tamimi. Allow me therefore, if we are to engage in mourning for this personality. To try to find out what is the secret of this personality's contribution to the event in Karbala. Two characteristics stand out. One is his tawbah, and two was the approval given to him at the time when he comes in tawbah to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and also on his deathbed, whereby Imam approves, yes, your mother was right when she named you a free man. Two characteristics. Let's ponder a little further on these two virtues. Tawbah. If you look at the Quran, tawbah has got several stages. Essentially, the word tawbah, the concept of tawbah, is a process of return from anything which is evil towards goodness. So the first stage of tawbah in the Quran is a process of returning from a state of disbelief and rejection of God toward a state of accepting God. So for example, in Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, in ayah number 5, Allah says, you must make all your efforts to fight against the disbelievers and the polytheists who will not tolerate your existence in Arabia anymore, who have done everything possible they could to expel you, to torture you, to dispossess you, to even execute you. Now that you have gradually gotten power, one, and now that you have shown your proofs of your righteousness and truth, two, and now that you have made peace treaties with them, but they have deliberately and persistently broken those peace treaties, three, now is the time to declare an ultimatum. Either you surrender because you do not agree for peaceful coexistence. Either you surrender or you shall be executed. Except for that person, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ. Except for the one who makes tawbah and establishes prayer and gives zakat. Tawbah here means he has returned from a state of disbelief and rejection of the truth toward a process of accepting the true God. The same concept again repeated in chapter 9, tawbah, ayah number 11. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. They are brothers to you now, because they have accepted the true faith. Stage 1 in tawbah, the beginning of the journey, of the return of a servant who has been running away from God. First step is accept God. 2. Step number 2, now you focus on all those behaviors and actions of evil and disobedience and rejection of God in your life as a believer. Surah Tahrim, chapter 66, ayah number 11. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Asa rabbukum an yukaffira ankum sayyi'atikum wa yudkhilakum jannat tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Just a single tawbah can qualify me to enter into Jannah? Oh, this is not an ordinary tawbah. This is a global, comprehensive, complete tawbah that spans all the spheres of my life, from the beginning till the end. 3. In the Quran, different communities have been asked to engage in the process of tawbah all the time. So for example, if you look at Surah Hud, chapter 11, ayah number 52 talks about the message of Prophet Hud to the people of Aad. Ayah number 60 talks of the message of Prophet Salih to the people of Thamud. Ayah number 90 talks about the message of Prophet Shu'aib to the people of Ashabul Aika or Ashabul Madian. And in Surah Nuh, chapter 71, ayah number 10 and 11 talks about the message of Prophet Nuh to his people. There's one common theme. Of course, you must all believe in God, one, and worship Him alone, two. And then the third message becomes common. Accept me as the Prophet. And number 4, وَأَنِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Ask for forgiveness. constantly and return back to Him frequently all the time till the end of your lifetime. Essentially, a believer, once he accepts that there is God, one, who is all perfect, two, and therefore I am on a journey to get closer and closer in perfection to Him, three, I have to identify everything in my life that's imperfection, four, and constantly strive to avoid it, five. And the only process I can do that is through istighfar and tawbah. Of course, other than this global concept of tawbah, which spans the whole lifetime, there is tawbah of specific sins. If you commit a sexual crime, there is a tawbah for that. Surah Nisa, chapter 4, ayah number 16. If you commit a crime of theft, there's a specific tawbah for that. Surah Ma'idah, chapter 5. If you commit an act of accusation which is false against a woman or a man, attributing him an act of sexual crime, that's a sin. There's a specific tawbah for that. Mentioned in Surah Nur. So there are different types of tawbah also. But because the nature of the crime and the sin that was committed by Hur was not sexual, it was not economic theft, it was political. Allow me therefore to elaborate on this type of sins and the tawbah necessary for that. Incidentally, Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, talks about tawbah pertaining to the crimes in the political arena. And there are three types of tawbah mentioned in Surah Tawbah. There are those people who commit a crime and then they ask for forgiveness and Allah accepts it, one. Two, there's a second type of political crime whose sins are not forgiven. There's no promise, definitive, that necessarily and surely the sins will be forgiven. The sinner is held in suspense. Maybe your sins will be accepted, maybe not. Three, and there's a third group of political crime where categorically God declares, never ever will your crime be forgiven. Even if you ask for forgiveness throughout your lifetime, even if you ask the Prophet to pray for forgiveness for you, Allah will never ever forgive. Three types of crimes. We'll have to see, where does Hur fit? What did he do to achieve the status of getting his sins forgiven? As an example, in the ninth year of Hijrah, the Prophet took an expedition of Tabuk. Tabuk was a war expedition against the Christian Empire towards the north, Constantinople. The Prophet was reported that was planning to launch an attack. So in order to deter, the Prophet mobilized and they moved towards Tabuk. But Tabuk was a problem for the Muslims. There were problems because it was an year of drought, the harvest was low, and just at the time when mobilization was declared, that was the time for harvest. The journey was quite long, the provisions were inadequate, the journey was hot, the season was hot, and there were therefore many people who made excuses. In this area, those who were unwilling to respond and to participate or to contribute, their crimes are mentioned in Surah Tawbah. So for example, chapter 9, ayah number 118, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةَ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. Remember those three who did not join you in this expedition toward Tabuk. حَتَّى ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُ لَا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. And when you came back, these three people, the riwayah says these three people were Ka'b bin Malik and Marara bin Rabi' and Hilal bin Umayyah, who refused to participate. When the Prophet came back, they realized their mistake and they went and apologized and they gave an excuse, and the Prophet refused to even talk to them. The Prophet issued an order of boycotting them. Their friends and the companions abandoned them. Even their own families abandoned them. They reached a point where the Quran describes that these people now were left all alone. This wide earth of Medina suddenly became very narrow for them, very constricted. No. Even their own nafs began to experience constriction and uneasiness. No. They began to reach a point of desperation whereby they realized the seriousness of their crime, and they knew now that there was no solution for the problem that they brought upon themselves, but they disobeyed God, they ran away from God. There was no solution of running away from God but to come back to God. ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. At that moment, Allah turned toward them by His grace, by His mercy. لِيَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. So that He may accept now their repentance. You know why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. God is the one who often turns towards His servants, asking them, come back to me. A true tawbah therefore requires this sense of desperation, this awareness of the seriousness of the crime committed, a feeling of remorse and guilt and blame and uneasiness within the heart, which reaches a level of intensity whereby you lose hope in everything other than God. That's when Allah turns towards the servant and lifts him up and accepts his tawbah. This is one type of crime for which there was a repentance and a forgiveness possible. There's a second type of crime which is mentioned, for which Allah does not promise acceptance. Ayah number 106, Surah Tawbah. وَآخَرُونَ مُرْجَوْنَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِمَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَإِمَّا يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Wallahu. And God is all-knowing, Alimun Hakim. There are those whose crimes are so serious that even if they ask for forgiveness, God is not promising that He will accept them. He may accept, or no, He may punish them. The riwayah says possibly the crime that these people committed, for example, the killer of Hamza, when later on he repented and accepted Islam, or the killer of Ja'far, some of the prominent companions of the Prophet. They knew who these people were, they engaged in battle with them, and they committed the heinous crime of assassination. Later on they accepted Islam, but the crime was so serious, Allah does not promise immediate acceptance. 2. 3. Other than those crimes for which there is acceptance, or those crimes which are kept in suspense, there's a third type of crime for which Allah says there will be no forgiveness. Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, ayah number 70. The munafiqeen are those people who may ask for forgiveness, but Allah will not forgive. O Prophet, ayah number 80. O Prophet, if you ask for forgiveness for them, istaghfir lahum. أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة لن يغفر الله لهم. Even if you, the Prophet, were to ask for forgiveness 70 times for what they have done, God will never ever forgive them. Oh, a God who is Tawwab, a God who is Ghafoor. No, He is Ghaffar, very forgiving. He is Rahim, abundant in His mercy. No, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. He loves those who make tawbah. Yet He refuses to accept the tawbah of these people. What is the problem? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. That's because they've rejected in their hearts God. They've rejected the Prophet. These are the same people, when they were asked to participate, they refused. They were asked to contribute, they refused. They even discouraged others. When others contributed, they rebuked them. When the Prophet came back, they gave false excuses. No, they gave false oaths. We never did so. We never said so. Liars, cheaters. No, they had political secret dealings with the enemies of God and the Prophet. No, they plotted for the assassination of the Prophet. They're not believers. They don't deserve the mercy of God, even if the Prophet prayed for them. Amazing. Look at the spectrum of the crimes that human beings are potentially capable of committing. God, the all-loving, all-merciful, can forgive everyone till the end of their lifetime. قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't despair. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. But this group, never ever. They've disqualified themselves. They've closed their hearts. You take those hearts which are closed, dip it into the ocean of the mercy of God. The mercy is there. The heart is not ready to accept. It's not the fault of God. Where did Hur stand in this spectrum? Commander, instructed by Ibn Ziyad, you have to intercept the progress of the caravan of Imam Hussein. You have to divert it, bring him back and let him surrender to me. He obstructed and they went together till finally they reached Karbala. It seems Hur was under the false impression, later on he confesses, that his only task was for him to bring Imam Hussein to Ibn Ziyad and some sort of compromise would be reached and there would be no military confrontation. He did not figure out the evil intentions of those leaders. When he arrived in Karbala and he says, I've got an army of 1,000. Now suddenly I've got 30,000 people. Umar ibn Sa'd has come with so many thousand. Hajjar bin Abjar, Amr bin Harith, Shimr ibn Dhul Jawshan. All of them are coming in thousands. What is happening? But I thought we were just to take him and bring a compromise with Ibn Ziyad. He suddenly discovers the matter is much more serious. And that's when he then begins to think, أُخَيِّرُ نَفْسِي بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. Now I see myself between the option of the fire of hell if I now stand up against this man. Or I change sides. In Surah Nisa, chapter 4, ayah number 144 is the description of perhaps this type of people. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O those who believe, لَا تَتَّخِذُ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. O those who believe, do not befriend and take protection and take help from the enemies of God and abandon the believers. And the ayah then continues to say that if you do so, أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا. Then you have clearly set up a proof against yourself in God's court of law. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. Such people who say they are believers but internally they make political compromise with the enemies of God which can undermine the Islamic state and government and lead to widespread damage to the ummah, such people are munafiqeen and such people will go to some of the lowest realms of the fire of hell. And the next ayah then says, Illa. God is merciful. If you have made that mistake, not deliberately, but you were misled, the door of mercy is open. But four conditions required. Surah number 4, ayah number 146. Illa alladhina tabu wa aslahu wa atasamu billah wa akhlasu deenahum lillah. If you repent and turn back to God, one, if you reform and repair the damage you have done, Hur recognized the damage that he had done. Had it not been for him, perhaps Imam Hussein would not have ended up in Karbala. Had it not been for him sitting silent and not opposing the aggregation of the army, perhaps the suffering of Imam Hussein may have been less. Basically, when he turned overside, he confessed, "I have hurt the holy descendants of the Holy Prophet. I've done a lot of damage." وَأَصْلَحُوا, and they want to repair the damage that they have done too. وَاَعْتَصَمُوا بِاللَّهِ, and now they build up their link and relationship with God to be so strong that in future if there is any temptation to go back to that crime, they resist, because now they've hooked themselves up to God. اعتصام. No. وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ, and in all aspects of their lives now they are مُخْلِص, they obey God and God alone. So enough just to be able to pray behind Imam Hussein when Hur met him. No. More important, it's important to declare support. No. It's more important not to remain silent. No. It's more important not to give any support to the enemy. No. It's more important to cross over. No. It's more important to struggle and to sacrifice. Akhlasu dinahum lillah. That's the complete tawbah. When this happens, ulaika ma'al mu'mineen. Now you're accepted into the fold of the believers. وَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, and surely God is going to reward such believers. What did Imam Hussein alayhi salam do? Exactly what his prophet was instructed, what the Holy Prophet, his grandfather, was instructed to do. In Surah An'am, Ayah number 54, Allah says, وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. O Prophet, when those who believe in our signs come to you, you give them the peace of God. Accept them.
وَقُلْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ.
God has prescribed upon himself as a law that his mercy is universal. Hur was accepted. Hur now went out in defense. If you want to understand the spirit that motivated Hur, look at his declaration, the battle cry. When he fought against the enemy now, he declares, إِيَّنَا الْحُرُ وَمَأْوَى الضَّيْفِ. You know, you want to know who I am? I am Hur. I'm the shelter of my guests. أَضْرِبُوا فِي أَعْنَاقِكُمْ بِالسَّيْفِ, and I'm going to strike with my sword onto you. عَنْ خَيْرِ مَنْ حَلَّ بِأَرْضِ الْخَيْفِ, in defense of the best man who ever has walked in the land of Makkah and Mina. أَضْرِبُكُمْ وَلَا أَرَى مِنْ حَيْفِ, I'm so convinced that I'm right and that you're wrong, that every time I strike my sword and 10 and 20 or 30 of you are killed, I'm sure I'm blame free in what I'm doing. Hur, I have recognized that you are wrong. I was misled. You are the ones who wrote letters to him inviting him here. Number one. When he came, you abandoned him. Number two. Not only did you abandon him, you refused to help him. No. You said you would support, now you're using your weapons against him. Number four. You want to surrender him to his enemy. No. You know what you're doing? You have held him captive. You are treating him worse than an animal. Look at this Euphrates and look at this Tigris River. Even the disbeliever is allowed to drink. No, even animals are allowed to drink. You are treating this man worse than an animal. I'm convinced of my true stand. And when he dies, Imam Hussein gives him the label. أنت كما سمتك أمك حرا. You are truly free and independent. Why? Because you achieve freedom from the dictates of the dictator. You are free because you achieve freedom from the dictates and the pleasures of the world, unlike Umar ibn Sa'd. You are free because you achieved freedom from your desires that pull you down and many of these other people. You are free from the fear which is motivating a lot of these people of Kufa against Imam Hussein. أَنْتَ الْحُرْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَنْتَ الْحُرْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. The supreme lesson of tawbah and of freedom which Hur has taught us is something we should mourn upon and lament and weep and build up that bond to consolidate the principle of tawbah and freedom in our own hearts. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.